Hey, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. Or if you are watching my lives, hello, wherever you are and wherever you're watching from. I'm just gonna sneak in here, okay? Because I had a conversation with my kid yesterday and it left me a little unsettled, okay? And when I'm unsettled, I don't really have an outlet for that, right? Like that is something I have to figure out. Like I could call my husband and say I'm unsettled and it'll be a whole different perspective for him. So it'd be a different, conversation when really I was just very unsettled. And I brought it to God. Okay. I opened up my Bible study for a badass group again. If you guys want in there, that is live now. Where every morning I'm going to post like the Bible reading. But what I realized yesterday, uh-oh. Hello. So, what I was trying to say before my gorgeous son called me is that I basically in this conversation having something I just had something weighing on me and I just had this gentle nudge, right? And I feel like when we get those nudges from God, they're like golden and dangerous in the best way, okay? Because what's happening is like the minute I felt that nudge, I know it was pulling me out of sharpening my lines into weapons, okay? And it was about widening my circle and my struggle is like, how do I do that without watering all the truth that I stand on, okay? This is the truth, okay? You can hold hard convictions and carry people in love. I want to make that very clear. You can do that. They're not opposites. That's like the lane of true ministry, okay? Jesus didn't fold the truth into like mushy, sappy love letters, okay? Well, some places in the Bible are mushy, sappy love letters, but literally, like he spoke hard and he touched the broken. And I think that there's this really fine line of who I am at the core. This is who I am at the core. I want to help people reach their potential and to break the curses and take massive responsibility for where they are. That voice in me, that has never changed. It's never wavered. But there was a shift. There was a shift, back when I saw Irina's death, okay, that something shifted in me and I felt like rage and anger. And I felt that automatic, like, get away from me. Like, I don't want to share the planet with these people. I don't want to share the world with these people. I will segregate against stupidity anytime. Like, common sense here, non-common sense over here. I felt that. And then we've got Charlie's death that just like pushed me even further. And so last night, when I'm talking to God, I'm just like, how am I to be both? How can I stay true to who I am and still come out here with these hard convictions, but still want to help people? And you know what he told me? Check your ego. Check your ego. And this is it. Okay. I'm going to tell you how my ego has snuck in. Because here's the thing, you guys. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fuck up a lot. I'm going to say things that I probably shouldn't say out of an emotion that I maybe haven't checked. Like, there's nobody in the world that's going to be perfect. But what I will do is I will come on, I will apologize, and I will own my shit every fucking time. I do it with my kids. I do it in my marriage. I do it everywhere. Like, we're going to fuck up. And if we put this standard of perfection on ourselves, like, I'm never going to speak. If I knew I had to come on here and never mess up or never, make a mistake, this podcast would not exist. I mean, I literally have kept posts up of my podcast of embarrassing times in my life. Like, what was I thinking? I did that on purpose because I want people to see that the growth and the potential is there. But here's the thing. When we start to become more concerned with being right than being rational, and I know because this is my automatic instinct. When I felt that from him, when I felt that and I wrote that sentence down, I'm thinking, man, that's exactly how extreme liberals are. Like they're so concerned about being right that they have lost every sense of being rational. And the real question is, what we can see in other people is something we kind of have to question in ourselves. Am I being rational? Am I being relational? You know that moment when someone challenges your faith, and instead of seeing them as a soul that Jesus died for, you see them as an opponent out to argue, right? This, all of this, every single person that is in my inbox calling me names, every single person that is willing to have the dialogue, all of these people here are challenging my ethics and my beliefs. And I'm looking at them as an opponent. I'm not looking at them as someone that Jesus died for. And that's because my ego is out to protect itself. And that's a natural human experience. So I'm not going to beat myself up for that. But we can also have compassion. I have had great conversations in my inbox. I really have. And maybe I'm not giving enough credit to the Democrats that are willing to talk to me, to the people that have different beliefs than me. We don't even have to say Democrat and Republican, because at this point for me, like, my new separation is, have you read the Bible or not? If you've read the Bible, there's nothing that we're not going to align on. There's not, because the Bible is the one true word, and that doesn't change. So the people that I'm having the conversation with, they haven't even read the Bible. And that's what hit me last night, is like, they don't even know. They just don't even know. And I wish someone would have told me a long time ago about what it meant to really have a relationship with Jesus. I wish someone told me. I wish someone said, hey, you call yourself a Christian and you pray, but do you read the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Yeah, Sundays I go to church. Saturdays I go to church. I read, whatever the assignment is with my preacher. No, do you read the Bible? Like, do you wake up every day and commit to reading that? Because here's the thing. We get this idea that the fear of looking weak or soft, it keeps us from showing that compassion. It's the ego disguising itself as standing firm. And yes, that's self-protection. But when we cling to our identity as the one who knows the truth, we're doing it wrong. I'm just the one to tell people who knows the truth. I can connect you. I know a guy. I know a guy that knows what's right and wrong here. I know a guy that knows that we have crossed some seriously hard lines. We have to remember that Jesus didn't win people with ego armor. He won them with presence. He won them with the truth in love. And standing firm doesn't mean being a bulldozer. Like, it does mean refusing to compromise the word while still seeing these people as humans. Majority, you guys, yes, there are extremists, okay? I'm not the extremists, okay? There's a point where, we're not going to be able to have a conversation with the people that are just screaming profanities in my messenger box. I can't have a conversation with that. But I want you to start asking yourself in these moments when we are standing firm in our truth, when we are starting to speak out, because I want you guys to speak out. You have to be able to stand up for what you believe in and use your voice. This is part of you and your potential and your calling. So this is it. I have to ask myself, am I defending Christ or am I defending my pride? Have I been defending my pride or have I been defending Christ? And if in every question you answer, you are defending Christ, then you can speak boldly and you can still do that with compassion. So we get to stand firm in our beliefs by recognizing the difference between holding the truth and holding people hostage to it, right? Standing firm is about refusing to water down the word, but we also at the same time want to open the door wide enough that people can see Jesus in us, not just our arguments. I know someone said Brandon's changed. She's not the same. That's the point. Like, that is the point. We are called to change. And the thing is that the things that I've watched happen over and over and over, I was very much a middleman. I was very much a middleman when it came to politics. I voted on policies 100% across the board. So of course, if the vote comes down to choosing between do we go to war or do we approve abortion? I'm going to say, I don't think abortion is okay. If the war is something that is necessary and worth fighting for, like, most 18-year-olds in our time can choose to enlist, okay? And they've got the loving support of family that can either guide them to it or bring them away from it. So when it came to policies, I was very much in the middle. In fact, If you would have asked my husband several years ago, he would have said, you know, we really do identify more like libertarian, right? So my political beliefs did not get extreme until I was pushed across on this line, because all of a sudden the line was drawn. Like, if you think this is wrong, you're over here. And then it's like we just kept getting pushed further and further back until we're all just in a corner. Okay, we're in a corner, and we've allowed some stuff to happen, and now we're the cleanup crew now. Like, we are the cleanup crew. We have to take massive responsibility for a bunch of shit that has happened and figure out how to steer the ship now in a way that is going to be gentle and not bulldoze people. Because the thing is, that's the truth, and it's the truth whether you want to believe it or not. Every single person, including the crazy ass liberals, the extreme liberals, like every single one of them, God wrote that Bible for them. He did what he did for them too. How do we continue this fight and make sure that people could see Jesus in us? Because the thing is, like I said, you cannot argue. I cannot argue any of my beliefs. Not single belief. I cannot argue with someone who has not opened the book, because you're debating these people from two different worlds. One is built on shifting opinion, and the other is that eternal truth. If you want to know what God thinks, if you want to know what he values, if you want to know what he commands, you don't guess. I don't go out there and do a poll on Facebook about what do you think God thinks. And I sure as hell don't rely on my feelings. Especially when I know that he is not cheering me on from where I'm standing at any point in my life. And don't get it twisted. He's backing me 100%. All he's telling me right now is to check my fucking ego. That's it. Check the ego at the door. I'm not trying to push people further away from him. But I do want you to understand that the Bible is the only thing that does not move. It doesn't move. Everything else, government, culture, trends, science, okay, opinions, that shit changes every 5 minutes. Trending shit changes every 5 minutes. You know what doesn't change? The word of God. It doesn't change. It's the anchor in the chaos. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. If you don't build on that, you're building on sand. It is the filter for truth versus deception, truly. The Bible is how you recognize when something sounds good, but is actually a lie. Satan himself quotes scripture to Jesus out of context. Without knowing the word for yourself, you'll fall for anything that feels spiritual but isn't God. This is exactly why I thought 3, 4 years ago when I was doing Reiki and I was reading tarot cards, I thought it was okay. Because I heard everything out of context. My Reiki gifter, my Reiki healer gifted me the Reiki, and she said, but this is, I pray to Jesus. I love Jesus. I pray to God. I love Jesus. This is where he says it's okay. Until you see the word for yourself, you just don't know. And you cannot say you're a Christian and not read the Bible. That's like saying I'm a chef and never touching food. You can't do that. Jesus is the word made flesh. And to know him, you have to know his word. You cannot separate the two. And if you're like, dang it, Brandon, I've been calling myself a Christian the whole time. It's not enough. It's not enough to say I'm a Christian. It's not enough to pray to him every single day. That is not enough. You have to read the Bible. If you do not read the Bible, you're not building on faith. You are building on fantasy. Opinions shift, feelings fade, cultures change. The word of God is forever. And if you want to know Jesus, if you want to follow him, the Bible is not optional. If we want to win this spiritual war, if we want to make common sense common again, we don't get to call for segregation. We don't. I don't. I can't. We have to be calling ourselves out to be reading the Bible. And to helping other people to have a desire to want to read the Bible by living by example, showing them what is it like to live by the word. Brandon, how do you have that peace? How do you have that calm? No matter how you feel about stuff, how does it not wreck you? Because everything that's heavy for me, I hand to him. And I still get to be human. I got to have big feelings. The past 2 weeks have been insane. I have had big feelings. I've had big reactions. God's word is the line in the sand. We can fall back on that and teach people that. Teach our people, the people. I asked a question, can Democrats be Christian? And I should have asked it the other way. Like, if you are Christian, can you be Democrat? And let me explain why I'm saying this, because you cannot call yourself a Christian and not respect the word of God. That's the line in the sand. Abortion, mutilation, the mutilation of children, that's literally trying to redefine God's creation. Those are not gray areas. That's rebellion against God. So you never been there. You don't get to bend there. You don't get to shrink back, and you don't apologize for your convictions, and you don't soften them to a printable half truth. The truth is love, period. So what has to happen is when that someone is screaming in your face, when these people are mocking me or calling me names, I know what makes it easy for me to not respond is that they're not my enemy. Like, they're their own enemy right now. That's the mission field. Satan is the enemy, and the person that person is still someone that Jesus went to the cross for. I mean, you guys cannot read this Bible. You cannot read it and not see every single day how much love was poured into you being here in this exact moment. And when you start to remember that, your tone shifts from "you're my opponent" to "you're deceived and hurting, and I'll still speak the truth, but I won't stop seeing you as human." I've had these conversations in my inbox, and I haven't given it enough credit. Where someone says, "What is the truth, Brandon?" Because I say that. I say that it's my truth. I ask me how I feel about someone who is in a homosexual relationship. Okay. Well, I love people. In my personal life, I have friends that make those choices, and I still see them as human. What I think they don't see is how much Christ loves them. And no matter what they think or what they choose, I can love them and still not be okay with their choices. But it's not a judgment. I can't take the weight of that. I can't take the weight of what you choose to do with your life. I can't even take the weight of what my husband's choices are. Your choices could be your choices. I can still love you as a person, and I very much don't agree with your shit. I don't agree with it. And the thing is, I can still love you because Jesus loves you because of everything he did for you. They are still humans. And every Christian on here that's calling themselves a Christian and not reading the Bible, like, you're still a human. You're a beautiful, beautiful human. And yes, you're on the right track. You're on the right track, but showing up to church on a Sunday is not enough. You have to get the word out. Bible study for a badass. You guys, I literally give you a schedule every single day. You'll be on the same page as me, literally. I don't read ahead, and I stay on that schedule. And we could stand firm in that because we've got that foundation, and it doesn't mean like stone cold, it means steady. Like, we are not going to let people's words move us off the truth, but we also don't have to fight fire with fire. I don't have to go back and name call. I don't have to draw the hard line in the sand because my ego is so fucking bruised that I just don't want to share the planet with these people. That's my ego. That is not my heart. That is not my heart, because the people that I do love in my life that don't know Christ, I would miss them. I would be sad. And that was my ego. Calling for segregation was my fucking ego. And the emotional side of me, I feel that. I feel that. Like, we can't share the planet. They're killing our babies. Right? That's how I feel. And then God is like, if you take your ego aside, those are still my people. And you're called to set an example. So I can either bring people to him, or I could draw the hard line and I'm never going to get where I want to go. I will not be playing the long game for eternal life. I will not. I will have burned myself in that moment. I don't have to shout back. I can hear your anger, and I can still believe God's word, and I will always believe that he loves you. That's disarming. Those conversations where I've brought Jesus into the mix, those conversations with the people that disagree with me on my page but are willing to talk to me, anytime that I have brought up the fact that no matter whether you believe in it or not, that book was written for you. That doesn't change. Not how I feel, not how anyone feels, not how you feel. None of that changes. And that's why, like, I know this hate feels overwhelming with the murder, the mutilation of babies, the fact that it's still an issue if men can go into women's bathrooms, like all of these things. It's just not even politics anymore. It's spiritual war. And we cannot fight this war with our ego. We fight it with prayer, we fight it with presence, and we fight it with unbending obedience. That means that if you're going to talk about this, you have to read the Bible. I can't come in here and talk to you about this. I can't do Bible study for a badass had I not read that, because what the hell am I saying? What am I saying? I can't pronounce shit in there. So if you are in my group and you watch me go live, it is so embarrassing because I cannot pronounce those words. I have no clue. No clue. We cannot bend God's word to fit the culture. We also cannot harden our heart to the people that are trapped by it. We can stand firm in truth. And we could stay soft in love because Jesus died for them as much as he died for us. And the radical left, they only have as much power as we give them. And I'm thinking about it today, and I'm thinking, man, they thrive on the outrage. They thrive on arguments, and they thrive on attention. The more we bite, the bigger their platform gets. And the way we stop feeding that is by starving it. Not by silence, but like, let's redirect the conversation. Let's redirect it back to God's word because there's no argument. It's firm. Whether you believe it or not is written for you. Whether you believe it or not, he died for you. Whether you believe it or not, he knew you before creation. We can't waste hours dissecting their insanity. That's what I've tried to do. I just want to understand the logic because the common sense, and I feel that that's my ego. Like, how fucking stupid can people be? That is not God. That is Brandon's ego. And it's desperate. I feel desperate sometimes because it just doesn't make sense and it's killing me. Every time we share their shit, even in mockery, like we're giving them oxygen. So maybe we just really do need to get back to the basics and be outspoken about our relationship with Christ in a way that you know people are going to condemn you for that too. Right? Like, I know I would get a lot of flack. The first thing people want to say is, "Oh my God, you cuss so much, but you love Jesus, you read the Bible." I'm good for all of that. I don't have to, I know who I am. I know my relationship with him. I don't have to defend myself. And I know I'm willing to listen to him when he's like, "Brandon, your ego is driving the bus. Like, sit the fuck down." I heard him say that to me because I'm aware and I'm open and I have that discernment. You would all have the same thing to be able to stand in your truth and talk about this. Is Brandon going to lose more followers because she's going to be all Bible talk? Fine with me. We're getting close to 100. I can handle it. But it is the truth and it's the core foundation of our life. It is life. The way, the truth, and the life is the word of God. You cannot be a Christian without reading the Bible, period. Period. Otherwise, you're just living off the vibes and the cultural Christianity. The word is the sword. It's the shield. It is the lamp on your feet when the world is dark. And baby, we're in a blackout. If you are not reading it, you're not standing for anything. You're not. And this isn't political anymore. This is spiritual warfare. If you're not reading it, we can't talk. We could talk. We can't talk about policies. We can't talk about laws. We can't talk about the kind of things that matter with our government. And you don't wait for courage to show up. This is a call out. This is a call out. You don't wait for courage to show up before you speak. You speak, and the courage shows up in the moment. Every Christian in history who made an impact opened their mouth before they were ready. And if you're waiting until you're not nervous, you're going to be waiting forever. You guys, you know I wear a peace patch, right? Before I go live, I put a peace patch on every single time just because I'm still talking in front of people. And if I'm not fueled by anger where I can't even see past that nervousness, then I'm always nervous. Like today, I see past the anger. I was like, man, I need a peace patch. I need a peace patch. You're gonna be waiting forever. You guys, you have to remember the mission. This is not about owning the libs. It's about saving souls. That's it. And when you're talking about abortion and gender or marriage or any issue, what is the truth? This is God's design. This is God's truth. This is God's love. That is the difference between yelling politics and preaching the gospel. The radical left is never going to get my platform. God gets it. So I don't need to waste my breath amplifying lies when I have the truth in my hands. You cannot call yourself a Christian and ignore the Bible. You cannot claim Christ and reject his word. We have to stand in that courage. We have to lead with urgency, not apology. We're not tiptoeing around it. Like, it's very simple in any argument. God loves you. He wrote it in blood on a cross, and he whispers it on every page of the book. You can reject me. Reject me all you want, but don't reject him. Because people are going to know when you're more worried about being liked than being honest. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are on that little borderline that are so worried about being liked that they're not being honest. I see you. Peekaboo, I see you. You have to point back to the Bible. It's not about my opinion. It's not. It's not about culture. It's not even just my testimony. Genesis to Revelation. It is the greatest love story ever written. God chasing his creation, redeeming, rescuing, restoring, reviving, all of that. It's not about winning a debate. We want to be human about this. I want to be bleeding out love in everything I'm saying. I get angry. I get wrong. And one thing I know is that Jesus has never stopped loving me. And you guys can see that. Watch the process. I don't care. I've been angry and wrong a lot in my life. Jesus never stopped loving me, and he sure as hell hasn't stopped loving you. You see someone standing on a train track, like, you're not going to whisper. What are you going to do? You see them on a train track. The train is coming. You have seconds. Are you going to be like, hey, Mary, a train's coming? Is that what you're going to do? You are going to run. You are going to yell. You're either going to push them so far off the fucking track or pull them that you're both going to be on the ground. And you're not screaming it with hate, right? This is urgency. This is passion. Well, fucking Brandon Lynette sees a lot of people on the train track right now. So yeah, I'm not going to be the one that's like, hey, Mary, the train is fucking coming. It is coming. And every single word in the Bible is a love letter with your name on it. He didn't write it to condemn you. This is to rescue you. We don't have to whisper about that. Anger is that signal. It's not the steering wheel. Anger is biblical. It's okay. Jesus got angry. The prophets got angry. But righteous anger always points back to God's standards, not just our emotions. And the difference is rage tears people down and righteous anger tears down lies. We have been called to righteous anger. Use your fire to fuel action, not just online rants. If you are not grounded in the scripture, the news cycle is going to chew you up and spit you out bitter. Read the Bible more than you're reading headlines. That was a personal message from God to me, and I'm sharing it with you. That's how you keep your heart soft and your stance hard so that there's no confusion about who you belong to. And you don't change government just by screaming at it. You have to change the culture that feeds it. So we want to raise kids who know the truth. And it's not too late. My two oldest are moved out. There's no, Saturday Bible study. I've tried that a few times. I just never stayed disciplined. Shame on me. I can still talk to them about this, and I can change how my littles view this and how they view the Bible. We cannot shrink back from these conversations, not at work, not at church, not anywhere. Every time you refuse to compromise the truth out loud, you're making a difference. Do you understand? We don't have to let our egos show up in anger. Do the things, take the action, literally vote, show up at the school board meetings, support the leaders who actually fear God, not just play politics. And if you can't find a leader who fears God, then become a leader that fears God and doesn't play politics. Become that person. Write, do a podcast, go live, use your platform, build a platform to use. Stop thinking that your voice doesn't matter. Is that really what you're going to tell God on Judgment Day? Like, oh, who wanted to hear me anyway? My voice didn't matter. But there was like one person that you were called to save. You were called to make that connection to introduce to Christ, and you didn't do it. That's your whole eternity because you think people don't want to hear you. You think that your voice doesn't matter. God multiplied loaves and fish. He will multiply your words. The government is never going to save us. Never. It's the government. I don't trust it. Oh, but Brandon, you voted for who's sitting president, right? Yeah. Do you think I trust the government? Absolutely not. God is the only one that can save us. And laws can restrain sin, but that's not going to matter. It's only Jesus that can change the heart. So, yeah, our first move, you guys, is not yelling at DC. That's not our first move. Absolutely not. It is about preaching about Christ wherever you are. That's how nations shift. Yes, be angry at sin, not just people. Stand on God's word, not just your opinions. We don't have the luxury of sitting silent while evil parades itself as law. But the answer isn't to let your ego drown your stuff in rage or to bow to the despair. We're called to rise and to stand firm on the word of God when the world is shaking. We are called to raise our voices when culture says hush and to live in a way that the darkness cannot ignore the light. We are not victims of government corruption. We are carriers of the kingdom. And if we believe that, then we walk out of here bold, unashamed, and with a fire in our heart, ready to make a difference right where God planted us. That's what we're called to do. I love you guys. I got to finish getting ready for work. So I'm probably not going to see you tomorrow because I will be there. Unless it's really slow, then I'll try to go live again. But that's always weird because I feel like one person walks in and it's just awkward. But as for that, Listen Bitch podcast, we'll be back on Monday, and I hope you guys have an incredible weekend. I'll see you guys Sunday, and I'll see you guys Sunday. Okay, have a good one. Bye.